Winnipeg. Hello, Manitoba. Hello, everyone listening to us on UMFM.com and wherever else you find us. This could be in podcast form. You are listening to Game Over, the premier video game show hosted by two brothers and a third guy, only live on 101.5 UMFM. That is 101.5 UMFM for any mothers out there who are trying to listen but forgot. This is, I guess, is you know what in grade school when you forget how to spell a word and then your teacher's like, look it up in the dictionary.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't look it up. I don't know how to spell it. That's me telling you where to listen to us when you're listening to us. If you're already listening to us, continue doing what you're doing.
If not, then we can't help you.
Exactly. And I promise that we'll maintain. But yes.
She's trying to find it on the TV.
Oh, the TV. Yes, wow. We've never been heard on a TV before.
I don't know what channel
we're
it is.
We're breaking new ground. So hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/GameOverUMFM. If you're listening to us on a new platform that we haven't heard of. So if you found a way to listen to us on the Switch or on Xbox Live or anything like that, I haven't put us on there. So if you figure out a way, please let us know.
But it is channel 718.
There you go.
There you go.
So if you're listening to us on whatever cable, I think Bell 5.
Yeah, Bell 5.
Apparently we're on channel 718. So feel free to tune into us there. But I am your Father, Son, and the Goalie host, Simon Pazdar, joined in studio by my faithful squad mates, Adam Pazdar and Matthew Minnie. How are we doing, lads?
We're doing good. I just came straight from the airport.
Yeah.
Watched the Bombers bring the Grey Cup home.
I saw that.
So I'm doing very good, although I feel your traffic pain.
Oh, yes. It's always fun, especially when it's a little bit slushy or slightly inclement. Yeah. How was that? So, obviously, the Bombers won the Grey Cup, which is technically a game, so it counts on Game Over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you went to the airport to see it. Was there like a huge... It looked pretty packed from your video.
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much room in the arrivals, like... part of the airport.
Yes.
But it was like pretty much completely full.
Oh, wow.
There's a bunch of people kind of like lined up along the second floor too.
Wow.
So yeah, it was good. We got some like good chance going. They broke the Grey Cup, so that was cool to see.
They what?
Yeah. Well, for those who don't know, this is not like a tragic thing. No, like the Grey Cup is in two parts. Like the top can come off.
Yes.
It's happened before. I think BC broke it when they were presented with it at the game when they won like several years ago.
Okay.
So yeah, it came apart. They put it back together. It's all fine. But it was funny to see anyway.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You got to see the Grey Cup come apart and do
It was a lot of fun. I high-fived Chris Trevler and Willie Jefferson. It was a good time.
Wow. Yeah, those guys seem like they're just going to be on cloud. Like I don't know if it's quite Ovechkin levels. But it seems like it might be close for a few of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like most of the players hung around and, you know, like shook hands and signed stuff. But yeah, Chris Trevor and Willie Jefferson stayed like way after everybody else. They were there to get like every last person.
Wow.
It was cool.
Yeah. Chris Trevor seems like a cool guy.
Yeah. He was limping around pretty hard, but seemed very happy.
I know the feeling. Adam, how are you doing? You're not excited about this Grey Cup win?
I mean, that was nice. It was nice to end a 29-year drought, although really at this point it's just, oh, finally, now everyone will shut up about it.
Now that one guy can put on pants.
But as you know, there's been no internet at our house for 3 days.
Well, no internet at your house. My house has got blazing fast speeds, upward of 130 megabytes downloaded.
Yeah, so... it's a very busy next 2 weeks for me, and not having the internet for 3 days has not been good.
Mm. Well, the key is what you've got to do is go buy your own house and then get internet there. That's the solution.
That's the simple solution.
That's really why I moved out, to try and get stuff there.
That's why people buy houses, right? To just, you know, upgrade off their parents' crappy internet.
Yeah. Among other reasons, certainly. So, speaking of, obviously we're going to be talking, I think probably the majority of the show is going to be Pokemon Sword and Shield again.
Another hour, by the way. Did you mention
that? Yes, we have another hour. It's going to be another Power Hour episode. Just get used to those. It's another Power Hour episode of Game Over. We're going to be taking over the TV Talkers time once again, but that's A-okay because we are still working. Well, TV Talkers is not dead. We are still working on a couple pretty important projects because obviously, like, one of the biggest / greatest TV shows of all time released a TV movie on Netflix, and we haven't talked about that. I really desperately want to talk about it. I haven't watched it yet. Have you seen it, Matt?
Yeah, I did see.
Yeah. Okay, so we got to talk about that at some point, I'm sure. And everyone on the TV Talkers crew is a big fan of whatever franchise I'm referring to. So do stay tuned. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's just not here today. However, yes, as I said, we are going to be talking the majority about Pokemon Sword and Shield. We're probably all in roughly the midpoint. Matt, have you beaten the game? You're probably the farthest.
I've essentially beaten the game I've done everything except catching the legendary, essentially, at this point.
Okay.
I've beaten the champion. I am now the champion.
You are now... What? Because as far as I'm concerned, he's undefeated, as is his Charizard.
You know, I can pull some little, like, wrestling heel stuff. He may still be undefeated, but I am the champion.
I see. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so I'm nowhere near that far. I've only gotten 3 badges, but even though I've played, like, 25 hours, and yeah. Adam, considering I saved the game when we traded the Switch, I know that you're about the same place I am, just a few more levels behind.
Yeah, and, well, I've only got like 15 hours or something like that.
Yeah, so I've spent a good chunk of time in the wild area and trying to catch individual Pokemon. But we're not going to talk about that right away. I do want to start off. I've been trying to beat the Outer Worlds.
How's that been going for you?
I've been making a real push in the last few days because I have the PS4, and that's what I've been playing on it to try and finish it. And honestly, I think that, I mean, we weren't exactly glowing when we talked about it a few weeks ago.
We were not.
It's definitely still good and enjoyable. But my opinion has kind of soured on it in a very specific way, and that is I still find at least one of the characters interesting. The gameplay I'm still enjoying. It might be the first-person shooter RPG thing that I've played in a decade that I'll actually finish. So that is a huge point to it.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, it's growing on me that it's only about a 30-hour game because it's a game that respects my time. You know, because I've gotten into 30 hours of other games and I haven't left the first act.
Yes.
Right? So the fact that it's like, we'll give you an experience that you can put down and you won't, like, you'll still be able to see your family and see the credits of this game. I respect that. That being said, the big lore of this game is that it's the future and everything's a corporate conglomerate. And to be honest, I realized I just don't care. Like, lore is cool. I'm with Matt. Matt, I think you're probably the biggest lore hound around.
Mm-hmm.
But lore is really fun. I enjoy it in games. Except when the lore is just which corporation is which. And, like, learning the corporate ladder, I'm like, I already work in an office. I have to deal with that stuff enough.
Yeah.
Like, I know my actual real life lore. I was fast-forwarding through all the conversations that had anything to do with the board and the corporations and all that kind of stuff. But, like, there's sort of a twist at the end, and that someone that you thought you had to kill was actually not the worst guy in the world, and then turns out the other guy is even worse.
Yeah.
It's sort of a twist with air quotes, but yes. I'm like, yep, well, capitalist guy is super bad.
Kill him.
Yeah, fascinating. I don't need to know, like, his backstory. Yeah, it seemed a little strange.
Yeah.
But that being said, I'm enjoying the time that I'm playing with it, even though I just made fun of it, and I'm probably going to finish it, although I did reach a game-breaking bug, and I can't set up Pavarti with her love, Junlei, and that makes me very sad. So, press F in the chat for Pavarti's love, because I hit a quest where, I mean, it's the equivalent of, let's see, I'll put it in Mass Effect terms for Matt.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Tally.
Okay.
She's almost exactly Tally, in fact.
Yeah.
She's like an engineer who's like cute and quirky and like
very
socially awkward.
Firefly. She's very much Keeley.
Yeah, I've heard Tally, her, basically she is Keeley.
And,
only gay.
Okay.
Yes. So obviously you're setting her up with this girl, Junlei. And I like Junlei's character too, actually.
Yep, I like Junlei.
I like both of them a lot. And I was looking forward to. And then she's really awkward. So she's like, I want to ask her out. And hey, Captain, I want you to help me and like have a little makeover. And so I can. And
you have to spend an absurd amount of money on this date.
I'm okay with that. But the problem is when she starts to talk about it, I get a little icon at the top and like some eerie string music. And it says like, Bite the Sun has failed. I'm like, what's Bite the Sun? So I finished the conversation, went to my quest list. Bite the Sun has failed because Pavarti has died. I'm like, what?
What?
And I can't. No one has solved this glitch. So if you're listening, Obsidian, I'd love to finish your game and get the ending with Pavarti. But I've heard that if I finish it, it will say she's dead.
Man, that's like the worst excuse to get out of a date ever. Like, hey, sorry, I was going to make it, but I died in a side quest off screen. Sorry.
While I died while talking to somebody. And finished the conversation because I'm polite. It's astonishing. Okay, so the other big-ish news is Google Stadia was kind of released this week. I was doing some information on it because none of us have it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Adam, who doesn't have internet right now.
Yes.
But it was released. You had to get like a founder pack where you paid like $130 and you get like 3 months of Google Stadia Pro or something. And it also comes with like a Chromecast thing. So you can stream 4K video onto your TV, assuming you are capable of getting 4K with your internet speeds. Which obviously Adam right now is not. But
not so much.
We're all kind of in gaming circles. So let's conglomerate our information for the people who are listening. What have you guys heard of Google Stadia so far?
I mean, not much, which is not great when you're trying to launch a new service.
Yeah.
I heard someone describe it as not a soft launch, but a whisper launch.
I like that.
Yeah. So I looked up a couple of reviews for it, and basically the general gist of them was if you have a good, stable internet connection, it works well.
Mm.
And, you know, like the games on it are good games, so it's fine, even though there's not that many. And if you don't have a good internet connection, then it's not very good.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, kind of what we all expected going into it.
Yeah.
But it's also missing a bunch of the features that were kind of like the cool, unique thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's missing most of the kind of like streaming interaction and like player-to-player interaction features, which is strange.
Yeah, but probably the most interesting thing about that Stadia press conference a while ago was the isometric gameplay where you had like one person on the ground, the other person was like a bug in the air or something like that. So, interesting. That's similar to what I've heard. It's basically like, I mean, it works. It's more like a tech, slow, like a tech reveal. But
yeah.
I think that's what it is, because they get it out now. They have a year to work on it so that it's competitive against the Xbox One and the PlayStation 5.
Oh, my God.
Five. So not the Xbox One, the Xbox Scarlet and the PlayStation 5. So it's competitive because down the road it's free, I'm pretty sure. I heard that in one of the reviews that I was listening to, that the normal version, when it's eventually released, will be free. You pretty much have to buy the game.
Right.
So, like, right now, we're like, well, you know, only really hardcore gamers are kind of hearing about it, and you still have to pay for it, and, you know, it's not perfect right now. So now it's not that interesting, but a year down the line, it's like, hey, do you want to spend, let's throw out a number in Canadian, $600 on the new Xbox, $600 on the new PS4, or get a Chromecast, which you can use for other stuff, and now you can play Stadia for free.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it becomes more competitive in my mind, which is interesting. And it seems, I heard the same thing you did, that if you have a decent internet, and like you can go to the Stadia's test website, and it's like 10 megabits down. It's not very much.
That's not very much.
You can get like 720p. And then obviously it goes up if you want to get like to full 4K.
Yeah.
But, okay, so Adam, you're probably the most frugal of the booch. I'm drinking too much kombucha. I'm sorry. Dad booch. I'm thinking of that booch. Adam, you're probably the most frugal of the bunch.
Yes.
Does the idea of a free way to play your games entice you at all?
I mean, if it's free, yeah, that probably will.
The games are not.
The
way of doing it is, yeah.
But the way of, if Stadia itself is free, then that will be, I mean, essentially then it's just a console version of Steam, right? Like, that's the analogy.
Well, I mean, it's a way to do Steam on your, or it's a different version, way to do it on your your laptop, but also your TV or also your phone, right?
Yeah,
that's nothing you can do.
So I think all of that is neat, but I think it's also very much there are some things for which I'm an early adopter, but this is not one of them.
Yeah.
It's like I saw this and I went, yeah, 2 years,
yeah,
maybe
at least. The interesting thing for me, I think it might be like a jack of all trades, master of none type situation, where it's like, well, if I want to play a game on my TV, I'll probably just, you know, being who I am, I'll probably just invest in one of the new consoles.
Yeah.
And if I want to play a game mobily, which is like the fun of having it on your phone, well, I'll probably just use my Switch. So I'll just get the two things, because I don't have kids to support, you know, I'll just get the two things that can do it independently better. The question that I have is, and I don't think you guys have the answer, but if you do, feel free to chime up. I mean, there's no way that Microsoft and Sony just let this slide, right? So how long until they come up with their version of this where it's like, because they're, I mean, I think Microsoft has something called XCOM, not XCOM, something similar to that though.
Yeah.
It's got X in the name, where it's basically just like, if you have Game Pass and you own the game on Xbox Live or Xbox One or whatever your Microsoft account is, then you can just also play it with that system.
Oh.
I can't see Stadia competing with that if in terms of functionality, that's anywhere near as good. Because why wouldn't you just do that?
Yeah. And Sony has their version with PS Now.
Exactly.
Too. It's not exactly the same thing, but
I think that's closer to the Game Pass, right, where you can just play different things.
Yeah.
But how hard? I mean, obviously it's going to be hard work, right? But it's a pretty easy step, I think, idea wise, to go from you have those things already streaming on multiple devices, now they can just stream over the internet instead.
Yeah, I think at some point, I think this is going to be like a Netflix kind of thing, where like Stadia comes out. Yeah, it's like very kind of like slow going right now, but I feel like it is the future. At some point, this will just be the way we play games.
Yeah.
So like Microsoft and Sony, I think, are going to have to jump on the bandwagon harder than they already are, or probably just die.
I think that's probably the best person this is for is just generally the gaming community, because it's going to drive innovation. Like, this is an insane amount of competition. You have a player with extremely deep pockets joining the game. So, like, we're going to be talking about Pokemon in a minute that didn't really have any innovation, or certainly not enough, because it doesn't have insane competition, or we've talked about NHL in the past. This is the opposite. This is, hey, we got someone who could, if you're not on your A game, Microsoft and Sony, these guys could take a real big chunk of the market for you, from you. Mm-hmm. So, it'd be interesting to see what we have.
In that aspect, I hope it succeeds.
Yes, I hope it succeeds in doing that, certainly.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it in like 5 or 6 years, once everything is like set up and running smoothly and isn't just in the like, oh, it'll be there someday phase.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not an early adopter myself on this one, but I'm excited to see where it goes.
Interesting. You actually just brought up a good point, which is, now that we're at the edge of the next console generation and sort of the Xbox One and the PS4 are where they're going to be. They're not going to be any more incremental improvements, right? It's kind of interesting to look back and think, well, what were they at when they were announced? Because I think I was an adult. I was definitely an adult when these ones were announced. And so it's more recently in my memory. The Xbox One has changed, like, substantially.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When it was announced, it was like, this is your media thing. And now it's just like, this is the game thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Whereas 100% Kinect integration.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Always online. Well, what if I'm on a nuclear submarine? Well, in that one case... But it does happen. Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so I do want to move on. Let's move on to Pokemon. And then I have a fun topic that I hope you guys did a little bit of research that will probably hit you with in the last, like, 15 minutes. Pokemon Sword and Shield. We're now deep, deep, deep into this game. We've probably, essentially, we've hit all the major things. It's just a matter of working our way through the story. So, I'll go to you, Matt, first, since you played the most. How have your opinions on Sword and Shield changed since last week?
I'm not sure if they've changed much. It's still a ton of fun. But the same things that were frustrating are still frustrating now. One thing, I'm like, you know, I've beaten, well, there's, I guess, kind of spoiler alert, there's no real, like, Elite Four. But I've
really?
Beaten the champion. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. They do an Elite Four-ish thing, but there's no actual, like, these are, like, the four people that you have to beat to get to the champion kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
It's, yeah, you do basically kind of like a playoff bracket thing with the other gym leaders.
Oh, all right.
Which is interesting in theory, but, so, one thing that I found strange about it that was, I found annoyingly easy, if you lose to any one of them, you don't restart. So, like, I made it through... Like, Pokemon are, like, fully healed, everything in between. I made it through to what was the semifinals against Rayhan, the last gym leader. I lost to him. And then it's like, okay, so I'll just start this thing over? No. I just go and fight him again.
What?
Yeah. So it's just a series of one-off matches where it doesn't really matter if you win or lose.
Mm. Well, that's entirely toothless.
Yeah. So I was a little bit disappointed with that. But beating the champion, I'm sort of into the post-game now.
Is there a post-game?
Well, a little bit so far. It's not wowing me.
I can tell.
Yeah. So I don't know how much you guys want to hear about what the post game is.
I've pretty much exposed myself to everything, so I don't mind, but it's up to Adam.
I know nothing.
Okay, so.
Okay.
Keep it PG.
Yeah. It's kind of a series of one-off battles kind of traveling around the region.
Okay.
For the most part, so far anyway. You know, it could be very, very long and go into new stuff, and I just haven't gotten there yet. But, you know, this is what I've done so far. It looks like there's quite a bit of stuff to do before you actually kind of go and catch the box legendary.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I went for what I thought was the encounter, you know, where I was going to catch them, and then it didn't happen. They introduced a couple new characters and have this whole kind of other, like, side plot going now. Which is not the most interesting thing in the world, but I like that there's more stuff before, you know, and it's not just, you beat the champion, now go catch the Pokemon, yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think basically the problems that I had with it before are the problems I still have with it now. But it's also still really fun. It's it's in a weird spot. Yeah, I will say, I'm really enjoying the little side characters in the post game. They are strange, and I feel like they should have been part of the main story. The motivation for what they're doing, I feel like should have been just in there all along.
Oh, because okay.
I kind of waited through the entire game to find out that there isn't really any kind of story.
Oh.
You know, like, I don't know how, like, if you guys are fine with that, but I kept kind of waiting.
I am getting, yeah.
I was just waiting and waiting and waiting for the plot to happen, and it never really happened. It's kind of just, go beat the gyms, and that's the story.
Oh.
This is something I want to go down, too. I'll let you finish your thought, yeah. But I do want to hear more on that from both of you. Sorry.
Yeah. But, like, so now that I've beaten the quote-unquote story, there seems to be an actual story happening.
Mm. Oh.
It's like, this maybe should have just been part of the regular game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm happy for some more stuff in the post game, but, like, this is much more interesting than
anything
the, like, yeah,
before.
The, like, zero story that was actually in the main game. So yeah. It's a weird, I mean, I'm enjoying it, but it's a weird decision.
What I've heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, I mean, I've kind of been, I'm trying to get the temperature of the community by being on the Pokemon subreddit, which is basically, I mean, it's sort of a mirror of what we just did, where it's, you know, for the most part, people will be saying all these complaints, and then occasionally one person will be like, but I mean, Pokemon is still fun. And
yeah.
Then everyone will be like, well, yeah.
It's kind of like NHL.
Yeah.
It comes
yeah.
out, and there's just a million things to complain about, but, like, I still enjoy it.
The core mechanics, the gameplay of Pokemon will always be fun, mm-hmm. and they know that.
Yeah.
But the question is, and I'm going to go on a little side tangent here, because I listened to a few other reviews, including IGN's review was, like, insanely positive, and I listened to their, I think it's called Nintendo Voice Chat, their podcast,
mm-hmm.
and I have never wanted to guest star on a podcast more than when I was doing that one, because every time they brought up something, I'm just like, that's not a positive. Like, why are you discussing it? That
yeah.
Even though I know it's their opinion, obviously.
Yeah.
But what really frustrated me more is people misrepresenting the Dexit. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this encapsulates people's feeling on the Dexit. It's not that they couldn't... The problem is not that they cut half the Pokemon. That's an issue if your favorite Pokemon got cut. That's unfortunate. The problem is that with that extra time and space, they didn't do enough. So I keep hearing, like, even I listened to the Jimquisition video on, because I know he's one of
yeah.
your guys, and
yeah,
I listened to his, and he wasn't all that positive, but he still misrepresented it. He was like, and I know it sucks if your favorite Pokemon, like Ekans, didn't get in the game.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not what sucks. If Goodra, I mean, Goodra is in the game, so, like, that's great. If he wasn't in the game, I'd get over it, no problem. If the animations were better, the story was better, the wild areas more put together, the problem is they took... They like, okay, we're going to buy ourselves time by cutting the Dex in half. And then they didn't use that anywhere that
anything,
we can
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
That's the issue. So if people are out there still saying, like, oh, you're just upset because you're... No. That's not the problem at all. You're
yeah.
totally missing it.
It's yeah. if you subtract something, you're supposed to add something else.
Yeah.
Especially
well, and
when the
just,
game is more.
And they've just
yeah.
contradicted themselves on what the reasons for it are.
Yeah.
I think if they came out and they said, like, look, guys, there's like 900 Pokemon now. It's just too much. For us to, like, keep adding on every single game, having them all in. Like, it's just too much work. We need to focus on other things.
Yeah.
That's fine. But they said those other things were, you know, like animations, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
That were copy and pasted, and they later admitted were literally just copy and pasted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, it was from X and Y. They made all of the models, like, at a much higher resolution than the 3DS could even put out.
Mm-hmm.
So that it was, like, future-proofed for this exact situation.
Yeah.
So it's like... Hey, 5 years ago, you planned for this
yeah.
and then just decided to scrap it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah, like the Pokemon not being in there is disappointing, but isn't the end of the world. It's just that, you know, they said we couldn't do it because X and Y.
Yeah.
But the X and Y things were copy pasted from X and Y.
There's nothing to replace it. I mean, if you look at, I think the first games, they weren't mainstay games, don't get me wrong, but the first games that, like, cut part of the decks was, like, Pokemon Colosseum and Gale of Darkness.
Yeah.
They did not have a full Pokedex, even given what it was back then. But there was so much new stuff
mm-hmm.
that no one cared, right? And so I remember, like, at E3 when the first thing happened, it was like they announced the Dexit, and they basically said exactly what you just said. Look, we're talking about 900 creatures here. 900. That's a ton. You cannot actually expect us to put them in all of these games going forward. It's just going to get worse. So if you want new Pokemon, you're going to have to lose them. And we were all like, that sucks.
Yeah.
But okay, I'm willing to sacrifice this for the vision.
Yeah, like, I think everyone expected that to happen at some point.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, when they get, like, 5 Pokemon generations from now, I don't think anyone expected for them to have 1,400 Pokemon in the game. You know, at some point it was going to have to happen. They just did a really bad job of making it happen.
Yeah. And I do want... That kind of leads me into another point You know, we'll say that for a second because I wanted to hear. So basically, it sounds like in this version of the game, I've heard this divided. I've listened to some reviews where people are very high on this. I've listened to some reviews where people are very low on this. But it sounds like there is a story in this game. It just doesn't necessarily happen to you. Does that about cover it? Like, when you're running around from town to town, you'll see something, and you're like, oh, that looks interesting. And then Sonya will be like, ah, yes, I've discovered something interesting. And then Leon will be like, ah, yes, I, the champion, have to go take care of something. You go do the gyms, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty fair.
Yeah. So I've heard it go from both sides. People are like, you're 10. Why are you the savior of the world?
Yeah.
I've heard that argument, and also, it's a story, and I'm the main character, so I won't be part of it. So I'm wondering, Matt, particularly because you've gone through it, and Adam, just, I guess, conceptually, what do you think of that twist?
It's weird, because in a way, this is kind of what I've wanted for the last few games. You know, I mostly like the story of, like, the first couple generations, where you're mostly just going and beating the gyms, and then there's some other stuff with the teams and all that. And then it gets here, and I'm just kind of like, well, not like this. You know, this isn't what I meant.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need the, like, world-ending stakes. I think I kind of roll my eyes at that a little bit in Pokemon games. But your character really is not involved with the story in any way, for the most part. Sonya has some, like, cool character development stuff. Probably the most of any of the characters. But there's, like, almost literally nothing for your character to actually do in the story. And it's, like I said before, I just kept waiting for a plot to happen, and it never did. I don't know. Like, I've kind of been wanting them to, like, really simplify the story to, like, something like this, but I think they just went too far. I don't know. I wish there was something more for your character to get involved with.
Yeah, I like the idea of the champion being the police force, and it's sort of like, well, why are you... I mean, there are certainly Pokemon games. To be honest, I can't remember the story of every single Pokemon game off the top of my head and how much the champion was involved. But there are certainly stories where the champion seems to be taking more of a hands-off approach and bewilderingly, like, what's it called? The region that we just named as our favorite, Hoenn.
Yeah.
Steven's the champion. What is he doing the entire game?
Collecting rocks.
You're taking down these dual criminal syndicates, and Steven is in a cave being like, wow, this rock, right?
Yep.
He should be doing more. Cynthia was at least a little bit involved in the story, and then obviously I think the biggest one that we can think of is probably Lance in, I think it was Gold, Silver, and Crystal, where you like take down a Team Rocket base with Lance.
Yeah.
So I can see the point of, the champion who's an adult should probably be doing most of this stuff.
But if there's ever been a game for the champion to just sit back, it would be this one, because he's basically just a sports star.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have Sidney Crosby going out, like, helping the police and all that stuff. You know, like, he's an entertainment icon, but he's, you know, if there was ever a game where he could just kind of take a back seat, this would be it.
Yeah.
So. That's exactly it. And then the other point is, I mean, it is still a game. So we've talked about, you have to make concessions for there actually to be a fun game. So I'm really torn on this, but I'm leaning towards the fact that you're a 10-year-old who has to... I mean, I'm not 10, so I'm already taking a jump here.
Yeah.
And it's strange that they say your Pokemon adventure starts when you're 10 and then you run into youngsters. So, I'm like, we're already blurring the lines here. I think I'm more in line with... I'm fine with blurring the lines and saying that my guy's the only guy who can solve this stuff. Adam, what do you think?
This is a tough issue. I agree with Matt. I think this is a very good game to do that sort of hands-off approach, because, he is just a... essentially just an athlete or the equivalent thereof.
Yeah.
And I am kind of in the camp of, you know, this is my story. I'd like stuff to happen to me. But at the same time, I don't know. I think it's... Pokemon is a hard world to do a story in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's always been the case. And in some games, it's more obvious than others. But I think the thing that you are suited to as a character is to solve Pokemon problems.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the reasons I really liked Hoenn, right? Kyogre and Groudon are ruining the world. Who are you going to send out to deal with that? Well, Pokemon trainers, right? And you just happen to be the person who's managed to lasso one of them. So you get to sort out the problems. Fine. That makes sense to me. But the human problem should be solved by human people.
Yeah. That's particularly true in a lot of, like, I don't know if that might be the case in the story here, where it's like, although I've heard it's not, where it's like, I've caught one of the legendaries, the other one is running amok, And it's like, well, you're chosen because this legendary Pokemon chose you. So because it chose you, you're now the one who has to go and deal with this other problem. I think that was the case in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, because not only did they choose you to deal with Rayquaza, you also had to go deal with Deoxys and the Omega thing, right? That's what they came to you.
Well, you've got the legendary Pokemon, so it's your job now. Good luck.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to me. Like, I'll buy into that conceit. But also, finding what Matt said, sorry.
I wonder if there's a way to just go in post and just anytime that Adam's nose does anything.
Apologies for that. Still slightly sick. But anyway, what Matt said about waiting for a story to happen, that kind of feels like how I felt about the Outer Worlds, too. I went through that whole game like, is something going to happen at any stage?
There's aliens.
Yeah, there's aliens. No,
sorry, that was a mistake.
Yeah, it's like
that was a rounding error. There's actually not aliens.
Nope. And so in this one, it's like I'm kind of with Matt. I kind of like the idea. I like the idea of a hands-off story approach, but not like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was really hoping they would just lean more into the sports thing. And you basically the story would be like you as this like rising star in the like sports world of Pokemon. And it's just kind of not that either. Like, I don't know. It's they found a weird in-between.
Yeah, because that's the obvious play to make, right? It's like make it a sports game. It's essentially a be a pro.
Okay, but there's never been a movie or a story told about a sports. That's never happened. There's no way. You can't write a story about a sporting event. That's preposterous. Hopefully my more and more slurred tone comes off, makes my sarcasm come off. Okay, we're going to be moving on from the story, but first we're going to be moving off to a couple of commercials. So we'll see you guys in a couple minutes. Welcome back. It is not TV Talkers. They will be returning, but not today. You are listening to another Power Hour episode of Game Over, the premier video game show hosted by two brothers and a third. By the way, when I'm saying that, I'm not saying that we're the premier video game show that happens to be hosted by two brothers and a third guy. I'm saying we're the premier video game show and do you understand what I'm saying?
That's our category. Yeah.
That's our category.
If we were to win an Oscar, it would be best video game show hosted by two brothers and a third guy.
Yes, specifically in that little, and it has to be on Mondays from five to five thirty.
Yeah,
and occasionally from 5 to 6. That's our market there. I was wondering that if people are just like, are they smack talking every other? No, we know what we are, which is totally okay. Okay, so we were talking about the story there. I kind of want to actually see if we could compliment the thing, but basically the compliments are essentially it's Pokemon, so it's still fun. That being said, all the compliments that I could think of were kind of attached to a negative, and now I feel like I'm being a negative Nelson, but that's the situation. So I was thinking, what's the most impressive thing? Like, if you sat somebody down 10 years ago, you showed them Pokemon Sword and Shield, what's the most impressive thing? It's clearly the wild area. And so it's like the Pokemon who are roaming. I mean, I think there's actually too many of them, because it's like, this couldn't possibly be a habitat. There's far too many of them. There's like a dozen in a small patch
of grass.
This
place would be a barren desert. Yeah. All the grass and trees would be eaten.
Exactly. This must be maddening with the amount of eating that's going on here. Everything. The ground would constantly be brown. You know, there's no way you could get around it. Actually, we know what Poke Feces looks like. That's not a rabbit hole we're going to go down right now, actually. But then, I mean, it's very impressive, and I like being able to move the camera, but it's attached to a couple negatives. Have you guys actually tried to play this game online?
No.
No.
It is borderline impossible. So there is a way to set your system to be online, and you will see other players in the wild area. But it's just kind of a ghost. They're not moving in real time. It's just, I think, whatever they were doing, you know, whenever they were in that area, you'll see them do. I think they've done it in previous Pokemon games, like on secret bases or whatever.
Yeah.
Where, like, you'll run to someone's secret base and Matt will be there, but it's not actually you. The character will just kind of move on your behalf.
Right.
It's similar. And right now, and this is not hyperbole, the online functionality of Nintendo Switch for Pokemon Sword and Shield is broken. So in theory, you should be able to go to these raid battles, get invited to people. If you load up your menu, you'll see, I think they're called stamps. And you'll see, like, there's a stamp for whatever just happened. But there'll be plenty of stamps saying, hey, I'm about to fight a raid battle. Come join me. And then you should be able to click on that, join someone during battle, and then you get the Pokemon and you get the there's no EXP involved, but you get the candies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work at all, so feel free to try. You won't be able to.
Yeah.
Some people have found like little bits of workarounds, like if you register for a surprise trade, that will shuffle the stamp thing a little bit faster. I was able to get into a couple raids that way, but still never actually got anyone to join me. I was able to join a couple other people's, but even that is not an ideal solution. And then where I was kind of going with this is the wild area is beautiful, but it makes me hate their Pokemon choice even more. Like Sock and Throw, who are dressed, do not look like they're wild animals. So again, my favorite type of Pokemon are the ones that look like wild animals. There are some exceptions, like, you know, like Grimer and Muk. I still think the design is pretty good. But for the most part, if you're going to be showing Pokemon in nature, you should have picked Pokemon that look like they belong in nature.
Yeah.
Sock, Throw, the Ice Cream family, Clink Clang.
Yeah.
When we're talking about stuff that's like, well, you know, if you're going to take stuff out, you better be adding a lot of stuff in. They also didn't take out the right stuff. And it's awfully bewildering why they did some of the things they did. And, again, the major problem is that it costs more than a 3DS game did. If it was the same price as a 3DS game, I'd actually be a lot more forgiving of a lot of this stuff. I'm like, well, maybe they weren't prepared for this whole Switch thing.
Yeah,
it's cheaper than the average game, right?
Yeah.
They might be more understanding. But I just want to – I have a quick list of Pokemon that I can't believe aren't in the game when because the game is set in Britain. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
You probably know most of these already. So Granbull and Snubbull. The Bulldog line,
mm-hmm.
kind of famous in Britain, not in the
or
game.
On the same thread, Stoutland.
Stoutland's in here,
the
too.
Terrier.
Yeah, Little Pup and I think it's Little Pup. Yeah, Little Pup and Stoutland, the whole Yorkshire Terrier line is not in the game. Ducklet and Swanna, apparently they're like the national birds or something like that. Swans.
Oh, yeah, swans, yes.
They're big in England.
Only the Queen's allowed to eat them.
That's right, and they're not in the game either. Someone also pointed out that lions are really big in England.
Yes,
big in
they
the,
are.
Iconography. Mm-hmm. Yes. Leo and Pyroar, not in the game, obviously. And other little things like, how does Team Yell not have Loudred?
Yeah.
It should be their...
On
the,
every team.
It should be the equivalent of their Zubat, right?
Yes.
Like, every single one of them should have a Loudred, and you should have Loudreds in the overworld that walk with them that are in their dress.
Yeah.
That's just how it should be.
110%.
And then other tiny things, like, I'm still annoyed that chameleons do not swim. So I can tell Leon is still my favorite. I don't think any of the starter designs are particularly great. But it's not a Pokemon that swims or is on land like the turtle or the crocodile or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Chameleons don't swim. So just little stuff like that.
This one does.
Drives me crazy. Although, to be fair, what do you guys think of the designs of the new Pokemon starters excluded?
Without the starters, I think overall I like them. There are a couple that are like in with my like worst of all time.
Such as?
Like the fossil Pokemon.
Or, I haven't seen those yet.
So you've seen them.
I haven't seen,
I've
them,
seen
yet.
Them.
Did you notice
Yikes.
The name of the did you notice the name of the researcher who does it?
Yep.
Careless.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cause she's careless.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just that's, wait until you see that.
Yeah, that's sometimes Pokemon they'll have a concept for a Pokemon design and I say, okay, that's interesting. And then you actually see the design and it's like, okay, but you made it look terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Where this is one of those things where with the concept behind them could possibly be interesting, but then at the end, when you get the end result, someone should have said, okay, doesn't matter if the idea is interesting or not, these look terrible.
This is an abomination to the face of God.
Yes. Oh, wow, they're awful.
Yeah.
I'm really not a fan of
and they
Impidimp
make you
either.
Feel sorry for the fossils.
Yeah.
You should have stayed like, dead.
That's like one of those like Full Metal Alchemist abominations
it
where
is.
It's just
it's
like
an Edwards,
you know, if they learned to speak, it would just be like, kill me, please. You know?
Oh. Oh man.
They're rough.
Yeah. That's that
I can't wait for Adam to see it.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of this.
Just wait.
And like what's frustrating about them is their individual parts, trying not to like spoil it too much, look like they could be good.
Yeah.
You know? They have like halves of good Pokemons.
I heard someone say, and I'm still going to try and skirt around all this, might be spoiling too much for Adam, that they were like, well, you know, it's different because they got rid of the rock half. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Wait, what?
That's never been the case. So the fossils...
Yeah, they're not rock type.
What?
We won't spoil what they look like, but they're no longer rock type.
What?
And so someone was saying, well, you know, the reason that they're kind of, I'll carefully use a word here, spliced, is because they got rid of the rock half. It's like, can you point to Cradilly? Which half is the rock half? You can't like cut a Charizard in half and being like, this is the flying half and this is the fire half.
Well, that's a bad example because you kind of can. But
I guess you could cut the wings off.
Yeah,
is that
exactly.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's still... You can't cut Aurora's tail off and be like, it is now an ice type.
Yeah, it doesn't make any
but
sense.
But that's not far off what they did. I saw people who were actually giving them credit. Well, now you have fossils that aren't a rock type. What did you want? You can just do that anyway.
Yeah.
You didn't need this.
Yeah, I haven't loved all of the fossil Pokemon before. The rock typing had nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Although I will say one thing. I've come to, not about the fossils, but just Pokemon in general, I've come to like the designs more as I get later into the game. There have been several so far where I really didn't like the initial form, but I actually end up really liking its final evolution.
Such as? Because you said you didn't like Impidimp.
Impidimp. I'm on the fence with Grimmsnarl, but I'm using it in my party, so I like it enough to do that. I don't like look at it and want to throw up, so, you know. It's a vast improvement over the initial one. I'm also using Hatterene in my party.
I've not seen either of those.
So it evolves from the Hatena.
Yeah.
Which was a design that I really didn't like at all. But I do actually really like the final design. I think it's really beautiful. And there's a few more like that.
I could not be more in disagreement with you on Impidimp. I think Impidimp, the original, is fine, and the last one looks like the Green Goblin from Ultimate Spider-Man.
I mean, you're not wrong, but I won't say it's not ugly, but it's ugly in an interesting way.
Okay, I have to look at this now.
It's Grimmsnarl is the name of the Pokemon, Adam. You can look it up and see which one you agree
with. Yeah, but generally, except for the starters, which is in reverse, I'm liking the final evolutions more than I am the beginning, so my overall opinion has gone up as I've gotten farther in the game.
Yeah, I actually, there's been, so in defense of the game, I really like a lot, I would say the vast majority of the new designs that I've seen, I actually really like, in some form or another, and there's been plenty of cases where I'm like, wow, you look really, your stats are terrible. You know, like Corviknight looks amazing, but the stats are god-awful, so it's like, oh man, I kind of wish I would be able to use you, but if I'm going to be doing mostly competitive play, and there's no contests in this game, so there's no other reason to have them, nope. But I would say, for the most part, the Pokemon that I've seen, and I've had a hard time filling out my team. I'm using entirely new Pokemon, as I think we probably all were on the first playthrough.
Yeah, that's my fault.
I'm having a hard time even just coming up with brand new Pokemon that I want to keep, because I want to keep all of them. Adam, what do you think of the... first of all, what do you think of Grimmsnarl?
I'm trying to find an actual good picture of him. Impidimp is fine. It looks like a Sableye that's lost weight.
I mean, they both kind of look like they could be Spider-Man villains, to be honest. Impidimp really looks like a Digimon.
It does.
I don't mean that necessarily in a bad way. But it...
That's a weird design.
Yeah.
But yeah, I totally see what you mean.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't disagree. It just kind of works for me a little more.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to put in my party. For the most part, I've liked the designs that I've seen. The little dog thing can go to hell.
Yamper. I think like Yamper is tremendously improved when it evolves, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree.
I haven't seen that yet. But for the most part, I like the fire centipede thing. I quite like that design. I've seen its evolution, and I like that too.
Love it. Last week when I was talking, I was being sort of alluding to the bugs that I liked. Centiscorch is like now way high up on my list of favorite
Centiscorch
Pokemon.
Centiscorch is great.
Yeah, I will say bug design in general is really good.
Yeah.
There's some really cool new ones.
Well, there's only three. Lines.
They're all great.
Three lines, and all three of them are remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything where I've gone, oh, that's just kind of lame. Oh, except the whipped cream thing.
If it's an inanimate object, it can go to hell.
Like, we have that. We have that twice over in Slurpuff and the other one.
Yeah.
Which are both in the game.
Aromatisse.
Inexplicably.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, I accepted Slurpuff. I'm not doing another one. Oh, I've also just caught the apple. That was the other one I just acquired.
Applin.
Okay. I have the apple.
Love Applin.
I really like the second evolution in it. I think it's really cool.
Which one?
Flapple?
Yeah. Oh, yes. So I need to trade. I think you guys both have Sword, right?
Yes.
So I need to trade you because I want Flapple, but I get Appleton, which is the apple pie version.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so I want Flapple.
Yeah.
That name
I will
is...
Say, I was right. a little bit disappointed with that design for a grass dragon with the final evolution. There's a couple... That one and the ghost dragon... When I heard Ghost Dragon, I was like, ooh.
The pseudo-legendary.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't figured out who I'm going to put in my team yet. Yeah. It's a struggle.
It was a tough choice for me. For a while, also partially because I needed to keep my Pokemon from being overleveled. I ran like a 9 Pokemon rotation.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't pick who I wanted in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I may do something similar just because it's so easy to get Pokemon into and out of this box now.
And because you get so many candies. So
yeah,
it's easy if
nice.
You get a guy. You can, okay, well, let me just take him out.
I will say the late game is heavily... there's a lot of steel types.
That's what I
So, I would throw in some fighting or fire guys. That's why I brought in Centiscorch, kind of last minute in mind. I ended up loving him, but...
Yeah. I think he may feature in my party, too.
Centiscorch is definitely inspired by some Zelda bosses. It just looks like it could be a Zelda character, which is A-okay with
him. I thought more Dark Souls, but...
Or that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sorry, you totally got me off my train of thought there. The Gigantamax forms, I think, are kind of take it or leave it. There are a couple, I mean, as we said last week, it's one of the stupidest things in the world that you get your Pokemon, get it all the way up there, and there's no way to get it to learn the Gigantamax forms. You have to ditch it for one. That is one of their worst design choices, and I will not back down from that, even though I think the raids are kind of interesting, and the raid battles are at least a challenge, sort of. But I have seen a little bit of debate online as well about the TRs versus TMs. People are just like, well, a TR is just a move tutor. So instead of, there's no move tutors in this game. Instead, you get TRs, and you get them all the time from beating raids. So you'll be swimming in TRs if you've done like even a few raids. That's all the problem. The problem is not that they exist. The problem is that they took a lot of the best TMs, and they turned them into TRs.
Yeah.
So it's like you should have kept, at the very least, like the Elemental Beams, Earthquake. Like, the staples should have stayed there.
The ones that you want on, like, every Pokemon.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then if you want to have the weirder, more situational moves on TRs, you know, like Scald, for example. Surf should be a TM. Scald could be a TR. So if you want to hunt down Scald specifically, I think it's actually the reverse in the game. But yeah, I still do not like the way they handle TRs in this game.
No, it's just... Making TMs not break after one use is one of the biggest quality of life changes I think they've made in the last several generations.
Yeah.
And it's baffling why they would reverse it. Yeah. Maybe if it was like just for a few things, like specialty moves, you know, like Earthquake should be a TM. If you want to have Boom Burst as a TR,
yeah.
Sure.
Like if it's over 100 base power, fine.
Yeah. You know, like overheat and stuff like that, sure. Why not? It's not going in everything. Like any Pokemon that can learn Earthquake, I'm going to have.
You're going to give
using
earthquake.
Like, every fire type should have.
Yeah, I don't want to have to farm for 40 TRs of the same thing.
Well, and kind of like I was hoping that they were doing this automatically because when I heard they were chopping a bunch of moves, I was like, okay, maybe they're streamlining everybody's move set so you actually get moves you want to use, and not every Pokemon is just every TM. Like, I bet you in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, I probably had several Pokemon who were only TM and Egg moves. Nothing they learned naturally.
Yeah.
Because their natural moveset was crap. Mm-hmm. And then I got into this game, and immediately my starter learned one weak grass move, and then three levels later, a different weak grass move. And I'm like, oh.
There's some interesting writing online, and it's very true if you do a little bit of research into it on Cerebee or whatever, but... Cinderance, which I don't think any of us have, Cinderance, the Final Fire evolution, is so heavily favored by this game in terms of moveset. It also gets two unique moves.
Yeah, it's very strong.
Wow. Yeah, and I think Inteleon by far comes out the worst. If you look at I don't know if you guys have seen their hidden abilities either.
I have not.
No, I haven't.
Are you okay being spoiled for the hidden abilities?
Sure.
Because they're not available in game. So Cinderance gets Protean. It's a version of it. It has a different name, but it gets Protean.
How do you have a chameleon Pokemon not be the one to
Excellent
get Protean?
Excellent question. So as someone who has a chameleon Pokemon, I am...
Although I will say, I think I've seen Inteleon's, and his is kind of interesting, even though it's not in this... It doesn't fit with how they designed the Pokemon.
It's Sniper.
Yeah.
So his critical hits do more, and it also his signature move... I think it's called Snipe Shot. It has a slightly higher critical hit ratio, but it's like from 6.25 to like 12.5.
Yeah, it's a plus one.
Yeah, so it's not significantly high. So I guess the theory is that you could use focus energy and then just be nailing critical hits left and right.
And give him a scope lens.
Yeah, I think that might be the idea behind him, but it's nowhere near as good as that one. And, your guy gets Grassy Surge.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Huh.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, that's not very interesting, but...
okay. I mean, it's not unusable.
Yeah.
It is solid. It's not, fun and exciting, but it's definitely a good...
Yeah.
It's less situational than Sniper is, certainly. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sniper works for one move.
Yeah, I'm disappointed they didn't just make him, like, an actual Sniper. Like, a water-type Sniper where you're, like, you know, shooting water
guns.
That sounds
kind
of cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he just looks like... A lizard person.
Yeah, it says he doesn't look like a human. It says in his description that he can shoot water out of his fingertips, which is how that works. Although he doesn't make a gun, I assume, because they don't want it in a kids game. So he makes like a weird like something like that. I know you guys can't see it, but just play the game if you want to see it. It's weird.
It's just a regular kind of pointing hand.
Yeah, he does kind of like a thing with his finger where it curls. It's bizarre. Okay, so we'll move on. We're going to keep talking about Sword and Shield next week, I'm sure. There's an idea that I want to float by you in like 2 minutes. And we're not going to make a complete list because we're definitely going to come back to this in the future, maybe even like New Year's Eve or Christmas or something like that. But I did see a couple lists of sort of games of the decade. So not necessarily your favorite games, not necessarily the best games, but what games kind of defined the decade. So feel free to hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/GameOverUMFM, and let us know what you think the games of the decade are. I came up with a little list here.
I've got five.
I have six. Yeah, so Matt, I assume you have a pretty similar...
I got nine.
Wow, okay, so maybe you'll start, and then we'll kind of cross it off if we go, and then we'll talk about this more in depth another. But this was just a little fun thing.
Okay, I'm assuming we're going to have a whole lot of crossover on this. Yes. I didn't do mine in any particular order. The first one I have on mine is Minecraft.
Yes, that was on my list.
When did that come out? That's the
2011.
Only reason. Oh, it did. Well, okay.
I have the years.
Ah,
of
the official release.
Yeah, it was one I wasn't sure of. I had to look it up.
There you go.
There were a couple like that.
Okay.
Another one I had was League of Legends.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Which I wasn't sure exactly how it would fit into the decade, but just snuck in. It was its 10th year this year.
Oh, wow.
Not what it used to be, but definitely was one of the big
ones. Define the decade. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of not what it used to be, but was huge, Pokemon Go.
I
don't think I'd put it on a best list, but in terms of most important,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it has to be.
Definitely up there. I also had Dark Souls.
Yeah,
naturally.
Yeah, obviously on my list too.
Last of Us.
Yeah, I had that too.
Yeah, GTA 5.
Obviously,
oh, of course. Yeah,
yeah, and then rounding out with Breath of the Wild and Undertale.
Yeah,
Undertale was good. I had my list is very similar to you. There's two, I would say, relatively big ones that you missed. I put Red Dead 1 in the first one that came out in 2010. Mm-hmm. It was like the first AAA game of the decade. And it, for a lot of people, it kind of redefined. Like, it was a big step when Red Dead 1 came out, or Red Dead Redemption came out. And then, I don't think you listed it, but Fortnite.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, that was on my list, and I just missed saying
pretty
it.
Pretty big game of the decade. Yeah.
And so mine is very similar, like, we've mostly covered it. But just sort of in the sort of the vein of the Undertales of the world, I think you kind of have to give something to Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah, you do.
Because that's just kind of... that. Sort of took over a certain subculture of the internet, and still does. I had Dark Souls on there. What else did I have? And Minecraft. Oh, of course, Overwatch.
Yeah,
like in sort of the same vein as Fortnite, right? It's just as a cultural phenomenon.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a good little list. We'll expand on that in the future. Here's what I have for you guys. It's not Name That Sound. I don't have any sounds for you. What I have is 7 Pokédex entries.
Oh, you, okay.
And I think 3 of them are, or 4 of them are from new Pokemon. 3 of them are from old Pokemon that are also in the Galar decks.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I'm going to do very poorly on the new one.
I've never been a big Pokedex reader, but I've just started with this.
I don't know any of the new names.
I tried to pick relatively easy ones for you. Okay, let's start off. You guys can't really buzz in, so I'll start off with whoever starts talking first, I guess. As soon as it's born, it burrows into an apple.
Applin.
I'll count it.
I don't know the names of the new ones.
I wasn't sure that you guys would know that, and then we talked about it moments ago, and I was like, oh, they're probably going to get that one immediately. Okay, point for Adam. Next one. I'll maybe alternate through Sword and Shield. Through its nose, it sucks in emissions produced by people in Pokemon when they feel annoyed. It thrives off this negative energy.
Oh, that could
Masharna?
No.
Oh, that was a good guess.
I'll give you the other one, too.
Is it Munna?
No.
Is it the baby?
I'll give you the other one, too. It sneaks into people's homes, stealing things and feasting on negative energy of frustrated occupants.
Through its nose.
Is it Impidimp?
Impidimp.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I hadn't seen it yet.
That little jerk.
Next up. Wow, this one's got a lot of entries. The Gigantamaxes all have new entries, too. Okay, this short-tempered and aggressive Pokemon chugs stagnant water to absorb any toxins it might contain.
Oh,
Toxtricity?
That's right, Toxtricity.
Dang it, another Pokemon I haven't seen.
You'll get there.
It's a cool one.
I feel this is very unfair.
Two Matt, one Adam. Here we go. The fur in its belly retains heat exceptionally well. People use it to make heavy winter jackets when it's shed.
Oh, crap.
Bear tick?
No.
Piloswine?
No. I'll give you the sword one, too. With power equal to an excavator, it can dig through dense bedrock.
Excadrill?
Nope.
Yeah, I was about to say, that doesn't fit the first
one. It's a huge help during tunnel construction.
Mammoth swine?
No. Adam, final guess?
No.
Diggersby.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that thing makes way more sense now.
Whoops.
Now,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It launches electrified fur from its abdomen as a means of attack. Occupants hit by the fur could feel in for 3 days and nights of paralysis. Could be in for 3 days and nights of paralysis.
From its abdomen.
Its abdomen.
Huh.
If this is a new one, I don't know it.
Nope. It's an old one.
It's an old one.
I'll read you another one. It lays traps of electrified threads near the nest of bird Pokemon, aiming to snare chicks that are not
Galvantula?
Yet good at flying. Galvantula.
Oh, okay.
2-2, right?
Yeah.
Into the final minute.
And a missed one.
So we're going to be flying out of here in a minute. Okay. There is a theory. Nope, that's not right. That has the name of it.
There's a theory that X.
Artillery platforms built into the walls of ancient castles served as perches for which this Pokemon.
Carbonite?
Could fire Dang. Energy beams.
Oh, never mind then.
Dragapult?
No. I'll give you one more. There's a theory that the inside of this Pokemon is a perpetual motion machine that produces limitless energy.
Kling Clang? Clang?
No. Go lurk.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's perplexing.
Okay, well, we didn't have that at all.
Okay, that's weird.
This all Pokemon right. rapidly extends its retractable neck to sink its sharp fangs into distant enemies and take them down. With jaws that can shear through steel rods, this highly aggressive Pokemon chomps down its unfortunate prey.
Who has a retractable neck?
Sandaconda?
Nope. Adam, last guess.
Is it a new one?
It is a new one.
Okay, then I have no idea.
Dreadnought.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
That thing has a have one. I didn't notice it.
It's a snapping turtle. Okay, so that's it this week, but stay tuned to UMFM. We've got some great stuff coming your way, and we will see you next week.
All right now, boys, how about a little dinner music?
Nowadays, people tend to look over the real art of DJing.
You are tuned in to... CJ UM FM. Here we are, 101.5.
Under the Needle, the KEXP Sessions. Come on, let's go.
Under the Needle,
the KEXP Sessions.
This is Father John.
This is Macklemore.
Ken Gizzard and Melissa Gizzard.
Hey, this is Brandi Carlile.
Hey, this is Dan Alibi.
This is Mac DeMarco.
Hey, this is Courtney Barnett.
Under the Needle, the KEXP Sessions.
All right.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Troy Nelson, back with you again for another episode of Under the Needle.